Lord, fill us with your presence, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let's hear now the gospel from John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Peter said to the other disciples, "I am going fishing," and they said, "We will go with you." But that night, they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul the net in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he jumped into the sea, but the other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire, and Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and be fed." Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Our epistle lesson this morning is very brief. It is Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Therefore, stand firm and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." This is the word of the Lord. Well, today we're continuing our Eastertide series with another appearance of Jesus to his disciples. In today's passage, the disciples are back to doing really ordinary things. Fishing. They're fishing as if their time with Jesus had never even happened. Well, it's the fishing thing in today's Bible passage that sparked similarities between the disciples' story and the Disney movie Finding Nemo. Of course, a big difference is that in the movie, the fish were the stars, and in the Bible, the fish were breakfast. But for those of you who don't know, Finding Nemo is about a father's love for his son, an imperfect love in that dad loved his kid Nemo so much that he smothers. He holds on too tight, terrified his child will go on an adventure, which is exactly what Nemo wanted to do. So the crux of the story is that Nemo rebels, gets lost, kidnapped, and his dad, who never ever wanted an adventure, risks everything to search for his child Nemo. Well, of course, Nemo's journey isn't just about adventure, what he wanted all along, you know, excitement, spreading his wings or fins, you know, what he wanted. Nemo's journey is growing to appreciate the power of love. And that's why at the end of the movie, once Nemo learns how deeply he is loved, and his dad learns that love requires freedom, Nemo's dad can let him go with the words, "Go, have an adventure." Well, Finding Nemo is a fun movie, but, you know, what does that have to do with confirmation? You had to think about what you had to do this year. You had to attend a session meeting, pick a favorite Bible passage, read the book of Luke, write a statement of faith, put up with confirming Gerard. Sorry, inside joke. But what does all that have to do with a fishy kids movie? Or a bunch of fishy disciples? Well, like the fishy disciples who went back to work ignoring their relationship with Jesus, I suspect you too will also pursue ordinary things with your back to Jesus. Or like Nemo, you may even rebel, even when it's against your best interests. She was in middle school, the youngest of three kids, a happy family, when her dad had a heart attack. Well, this was a long time ago. They thought it was a heart attack, but they didn't really know. Medicines aren't what they are today. All she knew was that her dad got grumpy and her mom got worried. Her dad's business went through some bad times, so at the end of seventh grade, her dad was sent to a job in another state, but they couldn't sell her house, their house. The whole eighth grade year, it sat on the market. So with her older siblings away at school, her dad away at his job, and her home on the market, she went from contented security to feeling lost. Her eighth grade year was rotten. She'd been a good kid, so she thought, hey, I was good, and this is what happens? Well, when some bad kids said, why don't you hang with us? She thought, sure, why not? Couldn't get any worse, could it? But as time passed, she realized that bad kids don't make good friends. Kind of like the undercurrent at the seashore. Things may look fine on the surface, but watch out or you'll get knocked off balance and dragged under. And that's kind of what happened to her. She felt so lost, like Nemo, so lost. She wondered, why did you abandon me, oh God? Why do you let bad things happen? Why don't you like me anymore? Well, after eighth grade, she moved to where her dad was working, and she was glad to leave some of the bad memories and kids behind and have a chance to start over. But starting over is hard. It's lonely. In fact, you all might appreciate this if you haven't had your freshman orientation yet, have you? Mm-mm. Her freshman orientation happened right after she arrived at her new home. Her mom found someone to walk her to her bus stop. She went to a new school. They said, catch the bus by the gym. She didn't know where the gym was. She missed the bus. There were no cell phones, so she had to go to the principal's office, say, I need to call my mom, have her pick me up. And she waited, and she waited, and she waited. See, her mom got lost, too, coming to the new school. So she felt so lost, so alone. She was lost literally and figuratively. She didn't want to go backwards, but going forward proved harder than she thought. So again, she wondered, why did you abandon me, oh God? Why do you let bad things happen? Why don't you like me anymore? Well, you know what? It's okay to ask these questions. God can handle it, but they come from a premise that's not exactly right. You see, God does not abandon. God doesn't punish. Oh, maybe this girl felt punished because she was unhappy, but some of that was brought on by her own choices, the choices of others, the circumstances of her life. But God never gave up on her. Like the dad fish who risked everything just because he loved Nemo, God risks everything just because he loves us. We are all God's children. But of course, the dad fish loved his son Nemo so much that he tried to micromanage him, right? But in contrast, God loves us so much that God gave his son not to micromanage, but to give us freedom. As Scripture says, for freedom, Christ has set us free, so don't go back to acting like a slave or to be a slave to anything else. Instead of arms that are squeezing too tightly in the name of love, God's truly loving arms are open to us, welcoming, saying, come and be fed. Well, today, Wildwood Presbyterian Church offers welcoming arms to you, our confirmation class, saying on behalf of Jesus, come and be fed. Whether it's fish or donut holes, come and be fed. We want to travel with you on your journey. And I must say, you all look wonderful today, just wonderful. And that's because you are wonderful. You're a great group. But guess what? We know that there will be times when you will mess up, when you will make bad choices. There will be times when you will ignore God and even your parents. There will be times when you will rebel. You will go on adventures that make sane people crazy. And how do we know that? Because we've all done it. We've all done it. And yet we're swimming along on this good current, this good journey together called faith. We're swimming along here because we know the other options. And like that girl, we've discovered some of the other options can be rotten. Hey, whatever happened to that girl? Well, God pursued her. God kept pursuing her, and she realized that, and she got so excited that she became a minister, but she never forgot how rotten it can be, how hard it can be to be a young person. So that's one reason why she absolutely loves sharing with young people the magnificence, the awesomeness of God. That's why she loves teaching confirmation right here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. That girl is me, and I think you all are great. And I still say, though, that my eighth grade year was the worst year in my life, and as some of you are quick to remind me, I've lived a really long time. And you know, that's true. That's true. But you know what else is true? God never gave up on me, and God will never give up on you, ever. You may feel lost, you may feel disappointed, you may feel frightened, but God will never abandon you, even when you feel abandoned, because God loves you. God loves you so much. So knowing how much God loves you, believe that even more than in a Disney movie, for us, in life and in death, ultimately, there is a happy ending, right? And knowing that and knowing how much God loves you, one last challenge for you, the confirmation class of 2016. It's your turn. Now go and have an adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. All right. Amen. For our affirmation of faith this morning,